Welcome to DevelopLex, a Middle Tech production hosted by me, Weston Lockhart, and Evan Knowles. This series will focus on the ins and outs of real estate development and investing, where we'll have the opportunity to sit down with the developers of our cities, veterans of the industry, and key people that have over time made a massive impact on communities and neighborhoods. The purpose of this series is to be able to bring a knowledge base to our audience beyond that of what reading a book or watching a how-to video ever could, and educate from those who have done it by hearing their stories, both good and bad, along the way. We feel that historically the learnings of real estate have been inaccessible without being connected, and we would love to open the doors to the next generation of doers, as well as shine a light on how visions of community have been brought to life. We hope you enjoy. Before diving in, we'll get a quick word from our sponsors. DevelopLex is sponsored by SVN Stone Commercial Real Estate, a full-service commercial real estate firm located in Lexington, Kentucky, affiliated with the SVN International Network, which is comprised of over 1,600 advisors and staff and 200-plus offices across the globe. The SVN Stone team consists of experienced commercial real estate advisors in the heart of the Bluegrass. SVN provides commercial real estate services to large corporations, middle market businesses, and individual entrepreneurial investors. Serving the greater Lexington area, SVN offers advisory services for sales, leasing, management, and development of commercial properties locally, regionally, and nationally. With transaction volume of over $400 million, the advisors at SVN Stone Commercial Real Estate have vast experience and deep understanding of all aspects of commercial real estate. We are also sponsored by Lexington Pavement Suite. Lexington Pavement Suite is a full-service property maintenance company operating in central Kentucky, specializing in parking lot sweeping, day portering, landscaping, and snow removal. From established retail properties to construction sites and everything in between, whether your property needs a daytime presence or a nightly sweep, Lexington Pavement Suite will be there to ensure your property is starting the day pristine. Lexington Pavement Suite is proud to be a part of DevelopLex, bringing the best of the best to all listeners. We are also sponsored by Community Trust Bank. Community Trust offers a wide variety of home loans, commercial loans, and small business loans to suit your financial needs, as well as mobile banking, internet banking, and bill pay. Their friendly and professional staff would love to assist you at one of their 6 Lexington locations. Community Trust Bank is committed to building communities built on trust. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, subject to credit approval.
Just a quick editor's note here before we dive in. Unfortunately, we had a little bit of audio distortion for about the first 3 minutes and 40 seconds of this episode. So I just wanted to give a quick heads up. You might hear a little bit of clicking. It's not super noticeable, but if you hear it, please just bear with us. The rest of this conversation is well worth getting through that first 3 minutes of distortion. So hope you guys enjoy the episode. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the DevelopLex podcast. Today, we are interviewing Dennis Anderson. Dennis, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Weston.
Dennis is a Lexington developer, investor, a Lafayette grad, go Generals, also where I graduated, and all-around good guy to know and to help to understand the climate of Lexington as a native Lexingtonian and somebody that builds communities, quite literally. So, and today, by the way, Ross Bogus will be one of the hosts for DevelopLex. So we are very excited to have him on. But Dennis, let's start. Where are you from? What part of Lexington? We know you went to Lafayette.
Yeah, I grew up on Spring Ridge Drive. And when I was a kid, they built Kirkland Mall. That was the fields that creeks we used to play and wade in.
It's funny. I've seen pictures from back in the day of what right around Kirkland Mall looked like. And how quickly Lexington has changed, but that's why we have you on here to talk. How would you describe yourself when people ask you what you did?
What I do for a living? Mm-hmm. I hope they think I build a better place to live. That's what our company's about. That's our passion, is building communities. We did the good to great training, and our hedgehog was we were going to build a better place for people to live, and I think it's a place you can live, a place you can work, it's a place you can play.
So obviously that's at a really big scale, but a lot of these people that are listening are trying to figure out how to get started and how they get to a place like where Dennis Anderson is. So how did you get started in real estate? What was your first property and what was your first experience really?
You know, when I was going to pharmacy school, I'd go to BCTC in the evenings and I took appraisal course. And I'd encourage anyone who's getting started in real estate to learn how to value property and figure out what it's worth. From there, I spent, we were doing assumable loans back then, and I bought, assumed a loan on a house and bought it on 2041 Santa Teresa. That's where it started, and bought one the first year, and I think three the second year. Five the third year, ran out of money and started taking investors as partners, and I would do the work, and they'd put up the cash and would share the profits when we liquidated.
That's awesome. Could you break down what an assumable loan is for the folks that may be new to real estate art?
Well, I don't know if they're out there anymore or not, but this was back when FHA, and they would make a loan, and when the home sold, it didn't have a due on sale clause. You could buy it subject to that loan, and you would just give the seller the difference between the value of the home and the amount of debt that was on it. And we had had Kentucky Housing back then, which was where they lowered interest rates to help people afford a home that maybe couldn't buy one otherwise. So the deal was to find a home that had a 6 or 7% loan when the prevailing rates were around 10%. And so this one had, I think, a 6.5% loan, and I gave them like $7,000, and they gave me the deed, and I took over their payments, and I rented it, and it had a little profit on it at the end of the day.
Yeah, kind of financial play. So that's one way you look at real estate. What other kind of factors did you used to look at before you would make a decision on, do I want to go down this road with this property?
Well, I started buying rental homes, and I wanted stuff that was torn up, and it was just simple things, paint, carpet, things of that nature. And, of course, location. You want to buy into good neighborhoods, good school districts, things of that nature.
And how has that kind of changed over time for you?
Well, I still, today we're in the, we're developing our own properties, still predominantly an investor. Developing is kind of a, lets you become an architect and a designer, which feeds your creativity and makes you, you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Designing stuff is fun. And so anyways, we're looking for stuff that's in the good neighborhoods, good school districts, visibility, accessibility. You know, on an income property, you needed visibility and accessibility just like you would with a Walgreens drugstore, something that people see and want to come in and take a look at it.
We know, we've seen Anderson Communities kind of give us a sense of scale at this point. Like, when somebody's driving around Lexington, how can they identify things that you've had your hand on?
I think our houses have a distinct look in that we use the PVC board instead of the vinyl siding and the white bands around the windows. So the architecture is pretty unique to us. We love the mixed-use communities, and I think that's unique to us. We do the mixed-use walkable lifestyle communities. We like to have a certain scale of probably a minimum of 50 acres, and it used to be we want a minimum of 200 units. Now we want a minimum of 300 or 400 units. It gives us the ability to provide more amenities, bigger amenity package, and scale our workforce so that, you know, we can have 5 full-time employees instead of 3, things of that nature.
Yeah, and what are some of those developments that you're involved in right now?
Well, the one I think most people know of is Townley Park. Townley was a lot of fun. I'd been in the business as my late 40s, and I had enough cash flow to live a nice lifestyle, and I decided I want to do something more. And we got everybody in the company together, and we did a focus group. And we were studying The Good to Great, textbook by Collins. And we decided that we were going to build a better place to live. That was our passion that we shared. And so we went running down the road like on that, and we were going in 7 different directions like a bunch of cats or chickens. And we finally figured out we all didn't agree on what a better community was.
Yeah.
So we got together and we did another focus group, and we all wrote down the best place we'd ever lived and what we liked about it. And then we grouped that together. And, of course, the people in facilities management put a lot of focus on clean, well-maintained, and safe. And so that was what we could consider just a basic level service. That wasn't a better community. And we were been touring Kenwick. It's a neighborhood I spent time in growing up. And the mixed uses of the corner grocery, duplex, fourplex, single-family homes, front porches, close to the street, close to the sidewalk. And so people from there said, well, we want some place that they could take pride and esteem in. We wanted young professionals who really didn't have a whole lot of money, but they didn't want to live in your standard vinyl box with lick and stick brick and a garage and a big driveway. They wanted something that's more attractive. So we created that streetscape, and we said that's pride and esteem. We're going to build a place where people can have pride and esteem. And we wanted health and fitness. This is walking trails, gyms, swimming pool. But then we always found when we talked to people about the neatest place they ever lived, it was about social interaction. It was about things they did with others, whether it was a reading club, a card. It was walking in the mornings. It was playing sports. It was green space and things of this nature. So we put all this together and we grouped them together, and lo and behold, it came up looking like a pyramid and like Maslow's pyramid hierarchy of needs. We called it Anderson Community's Hierarchy for a Better Community. And on the bottom of it, the foundation's clean, well-maintained, and safe. And then on the next is pride and esteem, health and fitness. And then the pinnacle wasn't self-accusation. It was opportunities for social interaction. Mm. And from that, we came up with the design of Townley Park. We did the 5-foot wide sidewalks. Two people can walk side by side without getting their feet wet in the dew. And we had a front porch that's 10 foot away. It was covered. It was wide enough for place furniture on and sit there. We created three types of spaces. Public space, which would be the space around the swimming pool, a bench on a walking trail, a bench by the mailbox. We had a community mailbox. We put a bench beside it. Then we had the private space, and this was in the backyard. They had a fenced-in backyard with a privacy fence around it, a small area. It's probably less than 200 square feet on the backs of the homes. We moved the garage to the back so the street wasn't dominated with garage doors and pavement, and it created a nice curb appeal for our pride and esteem. So the pride and esteem, health and fitness, opportunities for social interaction, we incorporated these concepts and came up with Townley Park. Mm.
So when you were talking about the best place to live, what came to mind for your one that you brought to the group?
Well, obviously, I liked Kennewick because that's where we went and studied. And, you know, I'd traveled and visited places in Florida and South Carolina. There's some neo-traditional communities, and I'd gone there and studied those. So we brought those back, and that was kind of the foundation for it.
Yeah, that's what's neat is I think this interview in particular is one that is focused on quite literally shaping communities. And through DevelopLex, we wanted to show people kind of where their ideas of the places that we spend all of our time came from. But this is one that, I mean, really when you're thinking of what can I put on the corner of this high traffic street, you're thinking behind the people that you're going to develop for. I heard a quote, I went out to ICSC, which is a retail real estate conference, about a month ago. And it's talking about shaping communities. And a guy that I met with said, there's no such thing as a developer without a tenant, without a person in mind.
Or a resident.
Exactly. And so I think that's what's unique is that you are focused on a certain segment of people in Lexington, it seems like. Is that the case?
Well, we focus on different segments, but yeah, we're community centric, and we're designing it with our resident in mind. In Townley, we thought it'd be young professionals and retirees, and that's who it is. Every now and then, there'll be a family that has a child, and usually they move into a different community. When we went and did Trailside at McConnell's, we visioned that as a young family. They don't have to walk down a hallway to go to the front door. It's all townhomes, three-bedroom townhomes, two baths. One of them's got three baths, two-car garage, and, a private backyard. But we designed that for young families who were either needed to be mobile or hadn't accumulated enough down payment to own a home. We put a clubhouse with two swimming pools, an adult pool, and a kiddie pool, and we put a daycare. So we designed that for young working families. Then we go to Great Acres across the street. It's not as good a school district. And we designed that for young professionals. We're going to a prairie-style architecture We've got a town center. It's going to have a lot of energy. It's got a green space. There's going to be bronze elk statues. It's going to be a prairie style architecture. It's really neat. The architecture on this is really neat. I'm really excited about it. We've got the walking trails that connect to Town Branch Trail. We've got the lake. We've got a full-size gym that's in the strip center right next to Ramsey's. Diner's going to be there. We can go in, have dinner, and have a drink. I think that's an important part of community, too, to be able to sit down to dinner with your friends. And you've got to have lots of area where the people can control their contact time. If they have to go bang on the neighbor's door, they don't know how long they're going to go in and how long they're going to have to spend there. And the purpose in letting them in doesn't know how long they're going to have to put up with them, so they don't get to know each other. So you got to give them a place they can get to know each other where they can control the contact time, and that's kind of the basis of our social interaction.
So with Lexington being the hub where a lot of Eastern Kentucky comes to join in a professional career, people come to start their educational career, and usually end up starting as a young professional and staying. What excites you about Lexington and where it's going, or what do you hope it looks like in 10 or 15 years?
Well, I think Lexington is a great city, and I hope we don't get so focused on saving that we fail to invest in our community. And investing means we have to grow our community and continue to grow our community to make it open for new people. Our greatest resource is the young people at the university and their minds and their skills. We're very blessed in Kentucky to have the university in Lexington, to have the university here, to have the medical profession here, lots of government jobs, so we have a very stable economy. We go through recessions very easily, and it's just a great, great opportunity there.
So we've kind of talked about communities that you've shaped and formed, and you know this has been over a number of years. Let's talk deal specific a little bit. Do you have a favorite deal to tell a story about? It could be development. It could be a house that you bought in your 20s. What do you think your favorite deal to tell the story of would be?
Once we got through with providing income, so I raised my family and sent them to school. And then we did something that was a creative expression, and that was Townley. Townley was very good for its time. Today, I think we can do better. But that was probably the most fun. The company was young. A lot of the top executives today were right out of school, and they were enthusiastic and excited. And it was going well. It was right in the recession. The home sold anyways. We built 216 apartments in 10 months from the day we dug the footer till we moved the last family in.
Couldn't do that today.
No, you couldn't do that today. And then Townley received a lot of recognition. The mayor, Jim Newberry, gave us the infill Development of the Year Award. The local home builders gave us the Community of the Year Award. And then the state home builders gave us the Creative Design Award. And then the Bluegrass Tomorrow was kind of the deal prior to the Fed Alliance. The conservation group called one day and asked if I would accept an award from them. I said, sure.
For what?
And they gave me a Vision Award for the design and layout of Townley. And, we was pretty tall company. There was the electric vehicle that Toyota received award. There was the nature area down near Halls on the River. I wish I could remember the names of these things. But, that was, I don't know if I've ever received a recognition that meant more to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that idea, was that derived from a specific, did you see the property and you thought, wow, there needs to be a community here? Did you already own the land, or how did it really become a project?
Well, it was 50 acres inside New Circle Road, and there's not that many opportunities. So, it's when vision meets opportunity and execution, it's just a wonderful situation. Mm-hmm. The lady had owned it. It was like 9 people in the family, and none of them had children. And the last one died. Saw that in the paper. Dennis Bradley was the attorney for the estate and contacted Dennis. And then when they went to put it for sale, he called me back and told me what they wanted for it. They wanted, I think, $40,000 an acre for it. It was worth probably $36,000. And I offered him full price if he would give me time to work through the zoning, planning and zoning of it. And he was agreeable to that. So I gave him several hundred thousand more than it was worth, but I got time to work on coming up with that. So we hooked up with Al Sensen, was the president of Metathorpe, and I contacted him. And the land was zoned industrial. And I asked Al to go to lunch, and he worked for the Fayette County Public Schools. And we went to the Long John Silver's across from their building on Main Street and had lunch. And I said, Al, I took pictures of Blue Sky with me. And I said, Al, the Sharkey Farm is for sale. It's going to be developed. And it's zoned industrial. And I said, here's what industrial looks like. I think if we join hands and work together, we can do something better. And Metathorpe, very active, very proactive, good neighborhood association, always been politically active also. And he got back with his group, and they invited me to come sit down with them. And they liked the idea that we were going to work together, and I wanted to do a mixed-use community. We were going to bring services there. They didn't have restaurants. There's so many things they didn't have on that side of town. And so we spent 2 years doing charrettes and sometimes just outright arguing over a few things. I wanted a convenience store. I felt like we needed to have a convenience store. Nobody wants it, but it's something we need. And so they acquiesced on that. They didn't want to be across from fast food, so we agreed to do offices. And then later we agreed to change it to the Walgreens when we got the opportunity to put Walgreens in there. And stuff that was support the community, their community, all that whole west side of town. So 2 years in, we still hadn't come to an agreement. So I call Dennis up and say, Dennis, I need an extension. And I think he charged me $500,000 to extend it for 6 months. Or I agreed to it, which was a pretty big roll of the dice. And so I agreed to it, and we got back to work. We took it to planning and zoning. Planning staff did not like it. Planning staff recommended against it. We took it to the Planning Commission. We got one vote. So that's pretty dismal. And, of course, ultimately it goes to the city council. And I told Metathorpe I just didn't see much reason to go there, that we needed to get at least two votes. And they wanted to go. So I said, well, if y'all will support me and get behind me, we'll go. We'll give it a try. So on the evening of the hearing, they filled two city buses and filled the council chamber, overflow into the first floor where they have the council offices today, or the mayor's office, and we won 15-0.
Oh, my gosh.
And it redefined my company. You know, I told everybody that it was going to redefine the company of who we were and what we were. And we couldn't have done it without Metathorpe.
Yeah, absolutely. That is an active testament to just legitimately shaping a community. And that's why I think that this podcast is so important, is because it gives people the ability to see that if you have an idea and if you have a community behind it, the community is really what votes on it, right? It's not necessarily just city council members. I mean, it is for all intents and purposes, but like the people that are shaping our communities are within the community, are people that grew up in Lexington or moved to Lexington or whoever it might be. You can actually make an impact even if you're not, you know, a quote-unquote developer right now. Like, you can get to that point to where you're making an impact. Somebody in the Metathorpe neighborhood that wanted a sense of community so much got on that bus and went to city council and made their opinion know, which I think is awesome, and I think a real testament to you and your company. Give us a sense of how your company has changed over the years.
Well, you know, we started out just essentially late-night TV, buying trashed out houses and fixing them up. But we flipped the big ones and we kept the small ones and kept them as investments. And really, I was doing it as an investment. I didn't want to be a flipper. And we accumulated enough of that where, you know, I had, I think, 65 houses when I finally quit working as a pharmacist. And it was about, at that time, that's probably $4 or $5 million worth of houses. And I was making enough off of that to maintain, you know, my family. Then I ran into Linwood Wiseman. That was my big break in life. Townley and Linwood were my big breaks.
Yeah.
And Linwood, I was coming home from the pharmacy, and I was wanting to build a privacy fence around my backyard. And I was looking for barn lumber, but nobody wanted to give up their barn lumber. I was going through where Cove Lake, East Lake is, and Linwood had this big silver Mercedes, and he wore the diamond Rolex. He was the stereotypical developer, kind of grumpy. And stopped in his office, and he was having a little celebration by himself. He'd had his own change that went his way that day. And I asked him if I could have the fence. And he said, let's go see what you want. And he was drinking Jack Daniels on the rocks, and he had a little tumbler, and he put it up in the window of that Mercedes, and we went bouncing across the field. The fact that he didn't wear that glass of bourbon told me he was a pro.
Not the first time around.
And so we saw the fence, and he says, yeah, you can have it. And said I was the first honest man he ever met. Everybody else just stole stuff from him.
Yeah.
So I built my fence, and then I invited him over to see it, and we started doing dinners and lunches together and became friends. And I said, Linwood, when I grow up, I want to be a developer. And he asked me, he said, Dennis, he said, you're a pharmacist. He said, how much does a pharmacist make? And I told him, and he looked at me grinning. He said, you're making just enough to keep you from getting rich. That it was just enough to keep me comfortable. And so anyways, years later, I get a call finally one day. I'd given up my job, was full-time real estate investment and doing brokerage on the side. He says, I got a deal for you. You want to be my partner? And I said, well, I don't know. What is the deal? He said, well, I'll come over and get you. So he pulled up in the driveway and leans on the horn. And I walk out and get in the car with him. He says, well, boy, you in or out? I said, well, I don't know. Do you think I can look at it? He says, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? I said, no, it isn't that, Linwood. I just like to know. So anyways, we went out, and it was the Marshall property on Leastown Road, which is McConnell's Trace today. And so he took me as a partner, and it was my job to get it zoned. And being a developer is kind of like being a politician. The longer you're in the business, the more enemies you pick up. And he felt like he needed a new face to marshal the zoning aspect of it. So we did that, and that was my first opportunity. And the big deal was, one, he brought me the opportunity. And two, he introduced me into the right people to do business with, the engineers to use, the attorneys to use, contractors to use, and to wade your way through that, not knowing who the people of integrity were and the good people to deal with. Whether you can make it or not is debatable. You know, you just one or two slips early in your career when you are, you don't have a lot of money and everything could send you under. So he introduced me to the right people, and that was the biggest. He gave me the opportunity, and he introduced me to the right people to do business with.
Yeah, I think we've said this on almost every episode, but it's funny, a recurring theme that is on every episode of DevelopLX is partnerships and how invaluable it is to have a partner. And to have Ryan Foster in particular mentioned that he partners with people that are hands-on in the project, so like attorneys, architects, whoever it might be, that can give him, you know, a sense of what's up and down in a project. It definitely is also important to have somebody that's been through it before and knows who to deal with and knows how to deal with them and how to hold your mouth and the way to go. So that's really cool. What do you think the traits are? And if somebody's trying to go and pick up partners right now, what do you think? What do you think traits to look for? How would you find a partner right now?
Well, integrity is the number one thing. Intelligence is another. Those things strike me, but you know, it's the two most important things.
So, share a few of your biggest learnings with the audience. That if somebody was saying, "Hey, I would love to do what Dennis Anderson does," or maybe even at a smaller scale, I would love to get into commercial real estate or real estate in general in some capacity. What is probably the biggest learning or biggest few learnings that you've had over the years?
You know, I spoke of Good to Great, and if you look in there, they've got this, I forget exactly what they call it, but it's kind of like your learning curve and the growth of a company. And it usually takes about 12 years. And the growth of our company was maybe 20 or 30% a year for the first 12 years. And then year 12, it took off like a rocket. And that's the growth of a company. It takes you that long to really learn what you're doing. So I would say don't get excited and go too fast. I think my third deal, I did a reverse mortgage, which means we owed more on it every year than the previous year. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even, our payments weren't enough to pay the interest. So that was super leverage. And of course, when you start with little or no money, the only way you can get started is to borrow money. And so the ability to borrow money was very instrumental in getting started. So I would say kind of go slow. And the further you get in, be real careful with the amount of money you have borrowed.
So let's shift to Lexington specifically and the future of Lexington. You've been here a very, very long time. You're very familiar with different corridors and different communities. What do you think in the year 2022, what do you think the city needs? What's something that you think, man, I would love for Lexington to have this?
Well, there's three stages. You're either in a growth stage, stagnation, or decline. So we definitely need to embrace growth. It's hard to grow if you don't have land. Land's kind of the basic ingredient for development and growth. So that's my concern, is we get too consumed with saving that we don't really invest and grow our community.
Right. And that's something that comes up on every podcast we do too, is there's definitely a balance. Everybody loves Lexington because it's beautiful, it's community centered, and the natural beauty of it is almost, the service boundary does create a natural beauty of Lexington, but I do think that there is a way to develop and still keep the integrity of what we all love, because the community is a huge portion of that. Yes, the natural beauty is great, but the ability to bring more people here, to have more amenities, to really just accelerate our community is a huge thing. So what areas of town at this point, obviously we're constrained by quite literally a border in some capacity, at least for the moment being, what areas of town do you see the most potential?
Well, we're going to go east and west. That's out Richmond Road, Todge Road, Winchester Road to the east, and then probably Georgetown Road to the west. To the south, we've gone as far as we can. We've got the good soils and the horse farms on the north ring of the town. We need to protect that. We've got 30,000 acres protected in PDR, and the goal is to get 50,000. So the horse farm's going to be secure. I think we need to look at small area expansion to where you can add 50 to 500 acres on the urban growth area. And this would be land that was already contiguous. We do it through a small area expansion process. They would have, this land would have good transportation linkages, good roads. It would have access to sewers. I think I already said it would be contiguous, and it would have an owner that was willing to develop it immediately or quickly to meet a community need. It just isn't getting it included is not a estate planning tool. It's something that's meeting the immediate needs of the community. The no growth, hold the line. It's growth is like a big old train. It's hard to stop and it's hard to get going again. Yeah. So we need to keep it going, but you know, we don't need to run through the woods like a coyote with his spur on fire.
And I guess we'll kind of do parting thoughts here. What are you most excited about in Lexington right now? What's one thing that's going on that you just are excited about?
The soccer thing kind of catches my eye. I've seen how Elizabethtown has used this and it's a big economic driver. It brings a lot of people in their communities. This is a regional thing. These kids are traveling to play sports, and I don't mean across town. They're traveling interstate. And it's a big deal. So I think that's going to be exciting. It seems like the community's getting excited about it. Soccer's the fastest growing sport in the world, or at the largest sport in the world. It isn't as huge in the United States, but it seems to be going. And just about any kid can play soccer with some degree of proficiency and get exercise and enjoyment.
Yeah, that's a perfect transition, because I would say that the reason we wanted to have you on and the reason that you're so essential to Lexington is kind of the reason that soccer's growing the way that it is because it's inclusive. And the reason that people get behind soccer is it's inclusive, and it kind of thinks about everybody in the community, and something that the community can get behind. So when we look at stuff that Anderson has developed over the, you know, however many years, it definitely speaks to that. So we really appreciate you coming on today.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you.